The First Testament lesson this morning, for those of you that like to follow along in your pew Bibles, is found on page 171, Old Testament. And the lesson is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, verses 28 and 29. Listen for the word of the Lord. Every third year you shall bring out the full tithe of your produce for that year and store it within your towns. The Levites, because they have no allotment or inheritance with you, as well as the resident aliens, the orphans, and the widows in your towns, may come and eat their fill, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work that you undertake. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We enter this morning into the book of James. James was probably one of the last books accepted into the New Testament canon, along with Revelation. And James always sort of had an iffy history with the Christian church because it seemed so Jewish. Because it talks a lot about doing and about works, which we'll talk more about this morning. And even after this, if Luther had had his way, he would have tossed it from the canon altogether. So as we listen to this, in some ways it may sound a little different from what we normally read. But I hope we will listen to it with new ears this morning. We're beginning in chapter 1. We are starting in verse 17, and we're going to the end of the chapter. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger doesn't produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they look like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think that they are religious and don't bridle their tongues, they deceive their hearts. Their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord. It was my next to last job before going to seminary. I was working for a large engineering company in Houston, and we were in the process of designing a refinery for Chevron Oil Company. And my job, well, let me ask, how many of you have driven by like a chemical plant or refinery and you see those huge tanks, right, that are out there? Well, my job was to design all of the connecting pipes and valves and all of this that would take all of what was in those tanks into the refinery, and then on another part of the plant take what came out of the refinery and into the tanks. And I was actually enjoying it. It was challenging, it was new, it was different. And then one day, my boss comes and says that his boss needed to talk to me. Great, I thought. So I walk in and I sit down in front of him, and he hands me this envelope. And he says, John, I need you to go clean out all of your drafting supplies and be out within the hour. Can you imagine someone firing me? And I asked him if I had done anything wrong, and he said no, that in fact, I was the first of many, because they were shutting down the entire design process. Chevron was canceling the job. That they realized that the return on their investment was not worth it, that with lessening demand for fuel and lower oil prices, that it just wasn't worth the more than $1 billion to build this new facility. And so that day there were lots of us that got pink slips on our way out the door. Now, as a business economics major, I get return on investment. Every major project that anyone undertakes, you have to decide if the return is going to be worth the money you're investing. How many of you have ever had to make that kind of a decision? Right? You've had to do the analysis to see how this works. But if you think about it, we don't just do this at work. We do this in our own lives. We're always deciding if whatever it is that we want to invest is worth the return. You have that tired old bathroom, and you think it would really look nice with some marble countertops and two sinks and a new tub, and then you have to do the return on the investment sort of thing. You have to decide if the aesthetics of this new bathroom is worth the money you're going to invest in it. Friendships. You meet someone new. You have to decide, are they really worth my time and energy and effort? Will a return on this friendship for the time I have to invest in the emotional sort of assets, is it really going to be worth what I'm going to get out of it? And so almost on a daily basis, we have to decide if what we invest is going to be worth the return. ROI. Well, what I want to offer you this morning is that God does the same thing. God is looking for a return on God's investment. I know that's not the way we usually think about this. But if you look at the book of James, this is sort of what James is telling us. First, God has invested in us. And second, God expects, desires, a return. So, how has God invested in us? Just these opening few verses, verses 17 and 18, sort of lay it all out. What does God invest in us? Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from our Father in heaven, in whom there is no darkness and only light, no shadow. In a sense, what James is saying is that every gift you and I have, this creation, seed, rain that falls, our very bodies, the communities in which we live, every part of creation is a gift of God. We didn't just stumble upon it one day. It was something that God intentionally gave us. God invested in creation and creation in us. The second thing that God invests, and this is verse 18, in fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth. Now, the word of truth here is not scripture. It's not what someone says. The word of truth is literally the resurrected Christ. The word of truth is literally Christ made alive within us. As followers of Christ, we're not simply people who believe a certain set of doctrines or beliefs. It's not simply that we have faith. It is that God has made Christ literally live within us, and this transforms us and makes us new. And so in that sense, God has invested God's own self in us. And so there's the investment. God has given us every good thing that we need to live and breathe and move, and God has invested God's own living self within us. So, what's the return? This is how James puts it. In fulfillment of God's own purpose, notice purpose, He gave us birth by the word of truth so that we would become a kind of first fruits of His creatures. How many of you sort of know that word, first fruits? Okay, a few of you. All right. This is one of those great sort of Old Testament ideas and images. When the people of God were to come for the great festivals of God, they were to bring their best with them. And the best was the first fruits. They weren't to bring sort of leftovers. Well, I had this sort of wheat left over, and I got this lamb over here who's kind of lame and don't know what to do with it, so I'll give that to God. What James says is that God has invested this in us, these things in us, so that we can be the best. And he tells us what that best looks like. It means quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, ridding ourselves of those things that destroy us from the inside out. And he talks about religion here, which is a fascinating concept because in the first century no one understood religion like we do. And he said, what is true religion? It is to care for orphans and widows in their distress. It is to care for the least. What he says is we are to be doers of the word. Not just hearers, we are to be doers. We are to be out doing because of the investment. This is God's return. Now I realize that for many of us, this kind of language about doers, about giving God a return on God's investment in us, it makes us nervous. It makes us nervous because we begin to ask questions like, how much return does God want on God's investment? What happens if I don't give God a big enough return? How much of a return on God's investment must I give if I want to make sure I'm part of this wonderful kingdom that God is bringing about? And this is especially true for folks who have come to be part of the Presbyterian Church out of more conservative denominations that sort of had this works righteousness, that one only obtained either heaven or the kingdom if you did certain things and didn't do other things. And you were always sort of living on the edge, and you came to Presbyterians because we talk about grace. And now here we are talking about return on God's investment, that we have to be doers and not just hearers. All right, so here's what I want you to know this morning. This part of James, and actually the whole book of James, is not about salvation. It is about recreation. James is writing this letter to the church. James is writing this letter to people who have already begun their journey with Jesus Christ, who have professed faith in Jesus Christ. And so what James is trying to help them do is be recreated into the kind of people and community that God desires. For you see, what this whole book is about It's about God's desire to recreate human beings, that we become people who love God and love neighbor. And then to recreate communities around loving God and neighbor so that we become the kind of communities in which all people can come and experience the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ, and where we care for one another and recreate not just individuals and communities, but creation itself. That what God desires is that the creation be remade in a place where everyone has enough, and where everyone is capable and encouraged to reach their best selves. This is what this book is about. It is about God's recreative work. And so, what James is saying is, if we want to be about that business, we have to be doers and not just hearers of the word. Okay, let me ask. How many of you have ever been to a seminar? All right. So most of you. How many of you have ever taken notes at a seminar? How many of you have ever come home and put those notes in a drawer and never looked at them again? All right, okay. That's what James is talking about when he's talking about this guy or gal who looks into the mirror and goes away and forgets. Being only a hearer is like going to those seminars and we just hear and then we don't do anything with it. We just walk away and we're the same people and whoever we're working for is the same company or the same school. Nothing changes because we are hearers of the word. And that's what James says, that if someone comes into the church, into the community, and you hear all of this wonderful stuff, and then you don't do anything with it, then you haven't been recreated. The community hasn't been created. The world has been created. And so this is why James says we are to be doers and not just hearers. Because by doing that, we transform ourselves, the church, and the world. She was raised in a working class family. She put herself through college by making jewelry. And after college, she decided the thing she really wanted to be, her goal in life, was to go to law school and do sports law, do contracts, work for a sports team. And she made it happen. When she got out of law school, she went to work for the Detroit Tigers. And she's one of their attorneys who negotiates all of these astronomical kind of salaries and perks and benefits. But unlike a lot of people, she decided she didn't want to live in the burbs, that she was going to live downtown in Detroit. So she moved into this house in Detroit that was right next to a women's shelter. And when she would go out every day to walk her dog, she would stop and visit with the women who were outside of the shelter and got to know a bunch of them. She was also a runner, and she would run through the alleyways in Detroit close to her house. And one day, as she was running through one of the alleys, she noticed that some of the graffiti was sort of, and I guess maybe it was on plaster or whatever, and was sloughing off the walls and into the alleyways. And she thought to herself, I wonder if I could make some jewelry out of this. So she picked up a bunch of it. She took it home. Remember, she had paid her way through college by making, creating, selling jewelry. And she realized that it would make great jewelry. But then she stopped and she thought, how can I do more with this? How can I do something different? And so she decided that she would start a company here in Detroit that would employ women coming out of the shelter to learn the trade of jewelry making. And they would take these pieces of graffiti and they would turn them into jewelry. And this is, and her name's Amy Peterson, by the way. This is their mission. Employ disadvantaged women in Detroit to educate them on financial management, life wellness, and business, and to empower them to successfully transition to an independent life. After its second year, the company Rebel Nail made its first profit. And not only did it make a financial profit, but now there are close to a half dozen women who are out of the shelter, living on their own because they have been given meaningful work. See, this is giving God a return on God's investment. This woman had been given business savvy and legal savvy and artistic savvy, and rather than simply use it for herself, she decided that she would reach out and change the lives of women whose lives might not ever otherwise be changed. This is giving a return. Now, I realize not all of us, in fact, probably few of us, could ever found a company like Rebel Nail, but that's not the point. The point is, one way or another, every single one of us has the ability to give God a return on the investment that God has made in us. The only question is, what will it be? And so that's my challenge to each of you, to each of us this morning, that as you go from this place to ask this question, what kind of a return am I giving on what God has invested in me, in my gifts, in my talents, and where I am in the world? What kind of a return am I giving to God, who has invested God's own self in my life? Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that your love for us is so great that you would give of yourself and of your creation and literally yourself to each of us. Help us to find a way to give back to you and to this world, and especially to the least, that we might show our gratitude to you. In Christ's name, amen.